Frank Olkin from Lawrence Berkeley Labs and NSF. We'll be talking about one of the issues that came up during the panels, which is this whole issue. I'll click on the slides here, right?
I think the slides are...
Oh, the slides are already up there?
Okay. Can people hear me?
Okay.
I'm a program director at National Science Foundation on loan from Lawrence Berkeley Lab. This work, my interest in this and activities started at Lawrence Berkeley Lab and continues. Okay, first of all, disclaimer, nothing I say here represents the views or policies of either the National Science Foundation, Lawrence Berkeley Lab, Department of Energy, or the U.S. government. If asked, the secretary, the head of the agencies will deny my existence. So first I'm going to talk about why construct an ontology of units and dimensions. Then I'm going to talk about the distinction between units and dimensions. Sometimes dimensions are referred to as dimensionality. For example, I think in ISO 11179. But I'm going to use the term dimension here. It's a heavily overloaded term, but it's got fewer syllables. I'm going to talk something about the space of dimensions, and I'm going to talk about the differences between coordinates and interval measures. I'll mention some problems arising from vector considerations. I'll talk then about concentration measurements, an important and fairly ugly area. I'll give you some references here and contact information. I'm not going to talk at length about units ML. There are people in this room that are qualified to talk about this, Bob Dragoset and Jim Frechet? Simon Frechet, who are actually working on this. I believe there are other people in the audience who are working on various units encodings in other international standards. I'm sure they will have comments to contribute later. You should have told me before I wrote the talk. Okay. So, why construct an ontology of units and dimensions? The basic answer is you need measurement units everywhere. You need it for science, you need it for engineering, you need it for manufacturing, you need it for commerce, you need it for medicine, and you need it for environmental regulation, among other things. In the SI system, the base dimensions are mass, and the basic unit there is kilogram. Length, the basic unit is meter. Time, the basic unit is second. Current, the basic unit is ampere. Notice that the base unit is not, they chose as their base dimension here current and not charge. A coulomb is an ampere second rather than vice versa. Temperature is measured in kelvins. Amount of substance is measured in moles. Intensity of light is measured in candelas. Notice that there are seven base dimensions. So a meter is a unit of length. Length here is the dimension. A kilogram is a unit of mass. A dimension is the underlying property. Unit is a quantum of that dimension. And in some standards, dimension or dimensionality is treated as an equivalence class on units. So, for example, length is an equivalence class on feet and meters and inches and miles. And the point is that measurements that have the same dimension or dimensionality can be converted from one measurement unit to another, but measurements which have different dimensionality, such as mass and length, cannot readily be converted from one to another. And then those are the base dimensions that we then have derived dimensions in units. So, for example, length is a base dimension in meters. Area is the square of length. And so you get square meters. Volume, you get cubic meters. Density is mass per unit volume. So you get mass divided by length cubed. Energy is force times distance. So you get mass times length squared divided by time squared. So these are some examples of derived dimensions and the corresponding derived units. So we have seven base dimensions. The exponents typically range from minus 3 to plus 3, and this gives us 7 to the 7th possible dimensions, which is a large number, about 800,000. Obviously, not all of these dimensions are in actual use, but I would say maybe 5 to the 7th. That is, plus or minus 2 is more common. But in any case, and for each one of these dimensions or dimensionalities, you have maybe anywhere from 3 to 15 or 20 different measurement units. Okay, dimensional analysis. So the study of these dimensions and dimensionality is called dimensional analysis. There's an algebra. If you multiply quantities, you multiply the dimensions. If you divide them, you divide the dimensions. If you add and subtract quantities, then you should have the same dimensions or same dimensionality for these quantities. So now let's come to concentration measurements. The SI units are moles per cubic meter, or more commonly, moles per liter, molarity. However, you will often see concentrations reported as dimensionless ratios, or nominally dimensionless quantities. You see parts per million, you see percent solutions, things like this. The problem is these, unless someone tells you, you don't know whether you're looking at a mass ratio, a mole ratio, a volume ratio, or a partial pressure ratio. And usually people don't say. You're supposed to know from context. And most of the time, if they don't say, what they mean is a mass ratio. The problem is that if you have these concentration ratios, then the conversion from one to another is not a single constant, like the conversion of feet to meters. It's material dependent, and it's often dependent on the state of the material, that is, the temperature and pressure at which that material exists. Standard dimensional analysis, or at least the naive versions of it, treat all dimensionless quantities as the same, and this doesn't work for concentration ratios. Torque versus work. Work is, or energy is force times distance. It's actually the dot product of the force and the distance vector, or a path integral if you do it over a more complicated geometry. Torque is force crossed with distance. That is, it's the vector cross product. Both have units of Newton meters, and the point here is that the scalar representation of these units is insufficient to distinguish what you're talking about. Coordinates versus interval measures. Interval measurements are measurements of the magnitude of something. Coordinates are the location of something. And coordinates typically have a frame of reference, a magnitude, a direction, and the classic example here is temperature. If you ask for the temperature gradient across a window, for example, or a wall, you get a certain number of kelvins or various other units. And if you ask for the air temperature, you're getting a coordinate. And why do I call attention to this? Aside from the fact that they mean different things, the conversion process for converting from kelvins to Celsius, for example, is different depending on whether you're talking about an interval measure or a coordinate measure. If a coordinate measure, you have to change the offset to zero, the zero point. Okay, a couple of references. NIST has a web page on units. I'll give the reference here. There's also the NIST Special Publication 811 by Ambler, Thompson, and Brian Taylor, which is the standard guide for the use of SI units. Wikipedia has a web page on dimensional analysis, and there's a very interesting monograph by George Hart that talks about multidimensional analysis, algebras for and systems for science and engineering that came out about a decade ago. Well, almost 15 years ago. More references. This is a web page that is rather out of date. And the classic reference here, an ontology for engineering mathematics by Tom Gruber and Greg Olson. This work was supported by NSF and previously by the EPA and Department of Energy. And I'd like to thank John McCarthy, whom I've written previous papers on the subject. Contact information.
Excellent. Thank you, Frank. You did 10 minutes. That's great. Don't go away. I didn't get to tell everyone, I guess. Yeah, the timing is trying. I'm trying to keep these talks to 10 minutes so that we have 10 minutes for discussion about them. And in particular, in this case, I think what I want to bring up is the whole idea, okay, what's the project that we might be able to glean out of this? And actually, as he mentioned, Bob Dragoset's in the room here. Nis has been doing some UNIS-ML work. Simon might want to say a couple of words, but there was discussion during the panels in the past that it might be something that a bunch of people might be interested in rallying around, which is to build an ontology behind the idea of a markup language for units like UNIS-ML. Simon or Bob, do you want to say anything about that? I can see Simon has a mouthful, so I thought that'd be a good time to call on him to say something.
Well, I just want to say that within the UNIS-ML project, we have incorporated dimensionality. Can you hear me okay?
Not too well.
Is the switch? Is there a switch here? Is it just? Can you hear me now?
It is
on, so you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know that in UNIS-ML we have incorporated dimensionality as well as the description of the units. We've also included the capability markup quantities, and as far as the ontology goes, we haven't considered in a great detail how an ontology might be applied to this. Evan Wallace is here. He's actually more the NIST ontology person who might be able to help us with this, or other people. But we've considered the issue at this point to be that if you're trying to combine dimension of quantities of same dimension, you have to be aware of what that quantity is. And that sort of says that, like, if you're saying the concentration of something, yes, it is dimensionless, but you have to look at how the quantity is defined at before you can start doing any manipulation. But how an ontology might apply to this, that's a very interesting concept. I'm not an ontology person myself, so I can't address the issue of how that would help this project. Frank, you might actually then take over. And you know, we understand the difficulties, but what an ontology might provide us would be very useful information.
Frank, you mentioned 6 topics during one of these slides. Could those 6 topics be construed to be covering the whole area of standard space as well? Because we need to zero in on these. If we could somehow this could be one list. There could be other lists during this conference, but something like this to form a topic of where we are trying to take the standards and ontologies to integrate and interoperate with each other. That's just the thought I want to leave to the participants. Similarly, are there ontologies that integrate or incorporate these 7 types of dimensions that you mentioned?
Oh, these. These are the seven base dimensions that are used in the SI system. So most of the standards discussions I have seen, with the possible exception here of units of ML, typically treat only the units issues and are often silent on issues of dimensionality. And typically what they'll do is they'll construct some canonical representation for each unit, the set of units that are of interest to them, and they'll record those and tell people to reference them somehow. And this is an important activity, but I think it is not sufficient. I think that it's important to capture the dimensionality, because it gives you essentially a type system that lets you know when you can do the conversions, and B, there are units which are which you need to distinguish the dimension on. So my classic example are tons. A ton can either be a unit of mass, the most conventional usage. It can also be a unit of power, which is the way it's used in refrigeration and heating, ventilating, and air conditioning systems. The building people are, I'm sure, aware of this, and the mechanical engineering folks. And it has to do with, originally, with the amount of energy released by a I guess it was a ton of ice melting in an hour or something like this? Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Never mind. It depends slightly on the pressure, right? And the third usage of the word ton is in the nuclear weapons community. They refer to tons, or more often kilotons or megatons, as a unit of energy. So if you don't specify the dimensionality, no one will have the foggiest notion what you're talking about, except by communal agreement. Even if you specify the units, and there are other situations where units are overloaded as well. What can I say? There is the biggest problem, as I see it, is this issue of concentration, which doesn't seem to fit very well in the standard dimensional analysis theory. And is a fairly ugly but important business. If you get concentration units wrong, you can, A, you have all sorts of regulatory problems, but B, in medical settings, for example, you can actually kill a patient. So I see that as the biggest intellectual challenge. The other issue on encoding this in a knowledge representation scheme is that implicitly we're talking about arithmetic, and most of the logics that we use for ontology development actually don't support arithmetic very well. Is that? I don't think there's any arithmetic. What? But don't have any real notion of arithmetic in or description logic and things like that. If you're lucky, they'll know about integers. But
I was actually going to go the other direction, which is I was going to say one thing ontologies can offer, which data models don't, is the reasoning capabilities that you would need to draw upon for the dimensional analysis. The very arithmetic you're talking about, where you can start combining dimensions to verify, for example, that an equation has the correct dimensionality and all. I'm sort of reminded of the fact that I imagine some of you have heard about the new offering that Stephen Wolfram's coming out with, Wolfram Alpha, which is built on top of Mathematica, which basically is going to be released in a month or so, I think, out on the web, which purports to do reasoning, basically, built upon all the laws of physics and chemistry and various other, starting off in the science realm. Clearly, he's going to be grappling with, or he is grappling with, these kinds of issues of dimensions. Now, he has Mathematica built in there, of course, which does some of this kind of stuff. But certainly in the standards world, I would think that units, an ontology for units and dimensions, is due. We got someone in the back, and then I'll let
can you hear me? That's good. Hi, Amanda Weisman, Air Force Enterprise Vocabulary Team. I want to throw my plus one to this project, this sort of project, from the interoperability perspective, which is where I work. When you're in the situation of using data from different sources, dispersed sources, you can imagine units of measure are popping up everywhere. They're popping up in requests for resources of any kind. They're popping up in data on resources. They're popping up on capacity of various objects, even durations of travel or people being somewhere in some place. And they're all in traditional data models, and the sorts of information that you're talking about here are all implicit, and more often than not misinterpreted when used by someone else in the enterprise, but not in the community that was the originator for the data. And with the Air Force is undergoing a project not unlike what many industries are going through and other agencies, of trying to make their data more reusable and less redundant and so forth. If that's going to be possible, there has to be a way of making explicit when data is exposed that invokes a unit of measure, all of this information about it. Otherwise, we get exactly the kind of disasters that were lightly pointed at. So, and this is something that generally the originators of the data are not in a position to ontologize themselves or represent themselves. It's not stuff they've thought about, right? They need a model of it that they can just say, yes, we're here, right, in the description. So, and at that level, it doesn't really matter whether you can carry out the reasoning to follow through all the way, right? It's more about the metadata on a service or a data source. So, disclaimer I should have added at the beginning, of course, I gave you my affiliation, but nothing I'm saying here represents the position or opinion or knowledge of the United States Air Force. Thanks.
Thank you. Mike, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I'll be working on a financial services ontology. And I think
on a what?
Financial services.
Okay.
And the reason I mention it, I think getting this nailed down is absolutely vital. Also because the same questions apply in dimensions of things like currency, which is a unit. So when you measure value or you measure the price of something, it's denominated in units. And we have the same struggles of, you know, you've got variables. A variable has a value at a point in time. The value is in units, or it's percentage, which comes back to your concentration problem. So yields, interest rates, that kind of thing. So I'd like to see a good, well-formed model of this, which can then be extended to non-physical things.
So I've systematically avoided financial discussions here because currency units, the conversion factors fluctuate by time of day, which is even worse than some of these other ones. These at least are fairly stable. I wanted to give one example, but probably the most infamous recent example of problems with measurement units was the Mars Climate Observer space mission, which, let's see, JPL was using metric units and Lockheed? Where? No. It was all American. Screw up. The contractor was using English units and Lockheed. And they there was some miscommunication. The result was they slammed this satellite into the surface of Mars at, I don't know, 100 kilometers an hour or something.
I'd like to add my support to this. I think units and dimensions and all this kind of stuff is some of the basic stuff that really needs to be sorted out. The one thing I would want to ask about is how this piece of work, or alternatively some other piece of work, gets recognized as being the authoritative source for this information. Because one of the things that we know at the moment is that the nice thing about standards like this is how many of them there are to choose from, and particularly with units of measures, as one or two of the other speakers have noted, there are a myriad of places where these things are being re-standardized. And that's, I think, a big issue. And if we could just get it down so that there was one that everyone recognized and it had the appropriate authority, which presumably means something like BIPM, then that would be good.
Wayne, then Brand, and then you can talk.
So I just want to mention, I appreciate the mention of currency as another example of things where we seem to have discrete quanta, and from my perspective, working on homeland security issues, I think people is another one where we have very easily recognized discrete quanta that we can use as sort of a base dimension. We use that concept all the time in numbers of people affected and whatnot, and trying to capture those other dimensions for us in Homeland Security. There are some that obviously are very poorly defined, but some that relate to time. We have phases of a response, but the people is one that we could probably build on as a regular that, you know, there are victims, there are responders, there are communities, and sort of help build this social network framework that's a big part of what I do in Homeland Security. So.
Okay. Grant?
Yeah. Speaking of the specific example you just used of the NASA satellite, Frank, Ralph Hodgson at Top Quadrant has reported in his presentations over the last couple of years that he has developed, is developing an ontology of units and measures for NASA, which is being used or will be used to check their scientific documents for those very kinds of consistency problems. So you might want to check into that and include that.
Who is this?
Ralph Hodgson at Top Quadrant has developed, is developing an ontology of units and measures for NASA for that very problem that you illustrated, and to be used to check their scientific or engineering documents for those kinds of inconsistencies in use of units and measures.
Just a quick comment on the subject of authority, which is, I think, absolutely essential for all interoperability work. However, I would like to put the perhaps provocative statement in that it's a red herring to look for a single authority. What one needs is a way of indicating what standard you're using, and individual organizations or projects can then deal with governance issues as they see fit, and separating those two, describing authority and having governance around authority, need to be separate for it to get off the ground.
David.
Actually, I couldn't agree more with that statement. Within our set of B2B standards, we actually quote authorities for code lists, and for unit of measure, we use UNECE recommendation, which is a very large and thorough internationally recognized. But it doesn't matter what you use as long as you pick one and tell people what it is. For date and time, we use ISO, currency, ISO, et cetera, but they're all spelled out which ones we're recommending. So I'm in complete agreement. We'll never harmonize them all, but it's just... So it would be nice to get people together working on the same thing and see if we can do less duplicate effort, maybe. But
I agree with David completely. I think this is a really, really good example of a specific piece of content. Let's say units. It could be currency. It could be people. It could be all kinds of other things. We have a really good example here of units. It could be used as a content example. But the real issue here is to try to get the correct methodologies or the metadata around a piece of content, it could be anything, of how to do the methodology correctly so you can have the correct understanding of what we're really talking about when we talk about what is a unit. So it's all about the metadata and methodology around it. This is a very good example of the content.
Well, we've got to actually wrap this one up now because we've got a lot on our plate this morning. So keep that one in your mind. That's units, quantities and units as a potential project that we might want to consider. Remember, we're going to vote this afternoon, so that's the first one to consider. Okay.